So welcome, men, to Wednesday at the Well. Lloyd, where are you going to sit?
Right here.
I'll be sure not to sit there. You know, where you're sitting.
Before I go along.
There you go. Okay. So how many of you men here tonight, this is your first time at Wednesday at the Well in Philippians?
This week.
Okay. How many? Keep your hand up. Okay, there's two of you? Three. Okay. So you're going to be in number one when we break out. You'll be in number two. Okay? And so everybody else has your number, what group your breakout group is? You don't have a breakout group, you'll be in number three. Okay. All right. So in the spirit of accountability, show me your homework. Yeah, very good. Well, that was a quick flash. Just hold it up there. Okay. Yeah. Okay. No. Okay. All right, so let's pray. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would, your spirit would be our teacher tonight. And that you would work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. That we'd have understanding and how it is that you work, Father. And may we have the heart and the desires of your apostle Paul. May they be ours as well, because they were inspired by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this time together, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. So the only review I want to do tonight is in verse 12 of chapter 1, in verse 12. And it will bring us into verse 19. And what he says in verse 12 is, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me," and it's interesting that "which happened" are in italics. They're not there in the Greek, but they make sense for us in English. So if we read it, "But I want you to know that things to me," "have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Everything that happens to you is for what? The furtherance of the gospel. And it could be the furtherance of the gospel being lived out in your life, so that you become a better living example of what the gospel looks like. And also, it could be that the... somebody turn the refrigerator off, please. And it could be that it's also the furtherance of the gospel through you being a witness, both verbally and a life that lives out that gospel. Now, the things that have happened to him, what's happened to him? Where is he?
He's in prison.
He's in a house arrest in what city?
Rome.
Okay. And Rome, the church at Rome was a church that he did not start. It was started at Pentecost, because there were Jews from Rome who came and got saved at Pentecost, went back, and that's how the church at Rome started. So Paul wrote a letter to them, but he didn't start that church. So we read about some envy, and we read about things that preached the gospel to goodwill, some out of envy, and so you can see some of the seeds of that. But what I want to emphasize here is that the things that have happened to him have actually turned out to the furtherance of the gospel. And those seasons, that season was going to come to an end for Paul. That season of being under house arrest, that time of house arrest is going to come to an end for Paul. God's going to use him for all that he wants to use him for. And then it's going to be time to what? Move on. It's going to be time to move on. And as you read and studied your verses, Paul thought about there's two choices of how he's going to move on. What was one of them?
Die.
He's going to die and go be face to face with Christ, and he considered that gain, profit. What was the other one?
Live.
He's going to be set free. He's going to be set free. Okay. So 119 kind of covers that aspect. He knew that there's going to change, going to become into his physical disposition with regards to where he was at this time. So the first question that we have is, what makes Paul so confident regarding his deliverance in verses 19 through 21? And he's very confident of deliverance. And what are the two forms of deliverance that were possibly going to be his? Again, say it again. Life and death. He's going to be set free, or he's going to be set free. Yes. Okay. And the question is, in what direction is he going to go? Okay. And in verse 21. So he had certainty, but if you look at 19 again, it says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance." Okay. This is going to turn out for my deliverance. He has absolute certainty. But when you look at 21, it says this, "For me to live is Christ, and to die by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So he had two certain options. Now, both of them were not going to be true. So there's a certainty of deliverance. The word for deliverance there is soter, and it's salvation. It would be a continual salvation while he's alive, or the completion of his salvation on earth, and he would appear before Jesus Christ. But both would be true if either one happened, okay? The how of his deliverance. What's the how of his deliverance? He actually said specifically two things as to the how of his deliverance. What's the first one?
Prayers,
okay? And the word for prayers there is not the common word for prayer, proskuneo, which means to kiss towards, to bow before, to worship, okay? And that's the common word for prayer. This is one to make request. This is making very specific requests because the definite article is in front of the word, so it's the prayer, so it's specific to Paul. It's a specific request. How many of you pray specifically for the people in your life about specific things, or is it a general, oh God, please save the world? Okay. And how many of you do that? How many of you pray specifically? Very good. And so it's whose prayers? Who? Who's praying?
Church of Philippi.
Church of Philippi. They're praying for him. Okay. I know this will turn out, okay, for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the second component of his deliverance. And what does that mean? The supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Their prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The word supply there is an interesting word. It's used twice in the New Testament. It's a compound word. The first part of the word is a P, and a P means what for you Greek learners? Upon. Okay. The next part of the word has at its core the word choros, and we get chorus from it, and we get choreography from that word. So they're praying. Remember I said this week in the announcement, God tends to work where he's asked to work? Okay. I believe that. And they're praying, and God's going to deliver him, and he's going to send his Spirit upon the situation, and the Spirit of God is going to choreograph his deliverance. You get what that means? How many of you are ever involved in a musical or a play and you had a choreographer? I have, back in high school. And the choreographer directed where you're going to be, what's going to happen, what's going to be said when, and that. So who's the choreographer here? The Spirit. Why did the Spirit come? Because they what?
They asked.
Choreography. The choreography of his deliverance is going to be through the Spirit of God. How incredible is that? How incredible is that? He is going to move the pieces and the parts, and he's either going to have his head lopped off or be crucified, or he's going to be set free. Those are the two things that he was pretty certain of, was it not? You know. So how about it? Can you pray for people this way? Do you believe that God is the choreographer and the people you're praying for? Wow. It's just kind of interesting how he does it and perhaps how he uses us or other people. So he says, "For this I know, this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Why the Spirit of Jesus Christ?
Why is he called the Spirit of Jesus Christ?
Jesus Christ was the one who made it possible for the Holy Spirit to come.
Very good. And think of it this way. The Holy Spirit represents Christ. What version, I say the word version, of Christ is he representing right now and at that time? A Christ who had been what?
Resurrected.
Had been crucified, buried, and resurrected. So he comes with that flavor, that emphasis, that power, that totality of the sin issue being dealt with completely. It is gone. It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It is the Christ who was crucified, buried, rose again, ascended into heaven, and has finished the sin issue. And that's the Spirit that comes to us. And experience that Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. And he's also known as the Spirit of the Father. Oh, wow. The Father. The Spirit of the Father. Not the Spirit of the Arm and Hammer guy. Not the Spirit of the military guy. But the Spirit of the Father. But here it's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Okay. And then he goes on. And he says in verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope. And this is not hope like we would say, well, we hope the Raiders lose this weekend. You know, that may happen. This is a hope that is sure. It is my, whose earnest expectation is it?
Paul's.
And hope, it's sure, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Because the choreographer may not choreography the situation right away. It may take some time. He has a lot of pieces and parts. He has a lot of people he wants to minister to. So what is Paul going to do in the meantime while the choreographer is working? In nothing I will be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be enlarged in my body. In the meantime, while we're waiting, we're going to be about the Father's business until this deliverance comes, and Christ is going to be what? Hopefully, what? Magnified in our body, okay? That's our whole person. Remember we talked about this weekend? Spirit, soul, body. Magnified. Remember that word manifest, manifesting life. We talked about this weekend, and that magnifies the same concept. He is going to manifest Christ until this deliverance comes. How are we doing? Okay. And whether by life or by death, whether by life or death, he's going to be magnified. For to me to live, guess what that word is? Class from this weekend. What word is that? Zoe or is that suke? Zoe. Okay. For me to live and manifest this life is what? Is Christ. Okay. So, and to die is gain, and we also would call that profit. He's a great profit. And then in verse 22, it starts question number two. Read verses 22 through 26. What is Paul's dilemma between life and death? What is his dilemma? So we read on. It says, but if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. So if he's going to stay, what is it that he desires happens with him and through him? Anybody? Rich?
Grow faith in the church. In the Philippians church.
That there would be, yes, that there would be fruit from his what? His labors. From his labors. Is that the way you look at your life? Fruit from your labors. Fruit from your labors. Okay. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. I cannot tell. What I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am between two. To die is profit, is gain. But to live is for Christ. Both of those are what? Is either one of those a bad option?
No.
No, not at all. Okay. For I am hard pressed between the two, verse 23, and have the desire to depart. Now, one man said that word depart is like camping. It's like a tent. You're camping, camping trip's over. What do you do with the tent?
Take it down.
You take it down. It's gotta come down. And so our bodies are compared to what again? Tabernacles, tents. Okay, and to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Okay, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more better for me. Is that what he says?
No.
Needful for you. Needful for you. Okay, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. Your progress. Needful for you. How does he define needful here, guys?
Your growth.
Progress and what?
Joy.
Joy of what?
In the faith.
Joy of faith. Okay, and it's a joy that comes forth from your faith. You guys always have joy when you have to exercise faith in a tough situation. Whoa. That's the goal, is that when you go through a tough situation and you are required against all feeling, against all circumstances, to trust in God, does joy come forth from that when you're going through it? Yeah, that's a good question, is it? So his purpose would be, here's how I want to help you learn, A, to progress in your becoming Christ-like, and B, that joy of your faith would be manifest as you are exercising it. That's pretty heavy. Okay. That your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. He did look forward to being rejoicing with them. So what is the downside if Paul were to die? Anybody? What is the downside?
Philippians wouldn't have his influence.
Okay. And God would have to do what? Raise somebody else up. He'd have to raise Jim up, you know, or somebody else. And
a longer way.
Huh?
It'd be a longer way to raise, huh?
Wow. That sounds like a short raising to me. But okay. So there's really no downside for Paul. The potential downside for the Philippians is what? That they're going to lose Paul's labors that would issue in progress and their joy of their faith. Okay. But God would just have to raise somebody else. What is the upside if Paul were to die?
He's with Christ.
And God would have to raise somebody else up for the Philippians. Would he not? Okay. How about what is the downside if Paul were to live? What's the downside if Paul were to live? No downside. You guys agree with that?
He has to wait to see Jesus.
Huh?
He has to wait.
There's really not a downside if we're following Paul's plan. The downside would be this. If Paul were to say, for me to live is for myself, and because I want to live as long as I can here on earth for myself and for my pleasure and for my needs. That's a downside. Okay, but if it's for others, you know, and that's why I have so many guys memorize Luke 9:23. What's Luke 9:23 say? Anybody?
Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me.
If any man will come after me, let him deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. He that will seek to save his life, suke, will lose it. He that will lose their suke for my sake will find life, Zoe. That we talked about this weekend. Okay. So, what is the upside of us being alive today? The upside of us being alive. Now, this we've talked about Paul. What's the upside?
Huh?
Get to do his work. Okay. How many of you go to a job every day?
Most every day.
Okay. Is that his work? Absolutely is his work. Are you, is Christ enlarged in you in your work? Okay.
How many of you coach sports with your kids? Okay, coach sports. Is that his work? It is, isn't it? It is. It's his work. Okay, so the upside is tremendous. And what we have to do is get ourselves out of the way, right? Basically. Okay, what does Paul exhort regarding their conduct? Question number 8. And what does Paul want to hear about the Philippian fellowship? Verse 27. So let's read verse 27. It says this. Only. Okay. And it's like he's saying, while I'm waiting, I want to be about his business and I want Christ to be enlarged in me. Right? And he says in verse 27, to them only. Let your conduct, okay, only while you're waiting for me to come to you. And there's a possibility that I'll be set free, but I may not be able to do what? Come to Philippi. May not. So what are they to do while they're waiting? Only let your conduct, and that is a word of a citizen. So is our conduct as a citizen of heaven, or is it a citizen of earth, or sometimes a citizen of hell? Our conduct there. Be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent. Possibility is he may not be able to come to them. He may be set free. He thinks he's going to be set free. The issue is, am I going to be able to make it to Philippi from Rome? That I may hear of your affairs, that one, that you stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And the striving there has to do with striving with people in the community, the unbelievers, okay, in the gospel. And not in anything terrified by your adversaries. One man said that the word terrified there is the picture of startled horses, hundreds of them, stampeding suddenly. And that sound, what that sound is. It's a sound. Startled. Not startled by your adversaries. And adversaries there means that who those are in opposition to what you're saying. Okay? And which is to them a proof of perdition. Why would they be acting like a bunch of wild horses that were startled? Is because the gospel brings what? Light. And light exposes what?
Darkness.
Remember we read in John 3 this weekend? And the reason people don't like the light is because they love what? They love their darkness. People don't like the simple message of the gospel, this free gift. Why wouldn't anybody want a free gift that's worth billions and billions and billions in eternal life, numbers innumerable? Why wouldn't they like that? Because they like what better? Their sin. Their sin. And it brings conviction. And conviction, when it's not received in a good way, leads to what? Hostility. And horses, just loud, terrifying sounds, if you will, the picture there. But to you, it is a proof of salvation, and that from God. Okay? For you has been granted, on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, with the same conflict which you saw in me. When did they see conflict in Paul? When did they see the suffering in Paul, the church of Philippi? When did they see that?
He was ill, right?
No. In Acts 16. What happened in Acts 16? He went to Philippi, shared the gospel. What happened?
He was
beaten, put in prison. You saw this conflict in me. You in Philippi saw this in me. And now here is in me. And here I am again. I'm in prison again, but a house arrest, not as dramatic as that first time. So you've heard that to be in me, okay? And it is given to us to suffer. And most of the suffering we're going to experience, is it going to be of a physical kind, or is it going to be of an emotional, mental, horses that are really loud and stampeding?
Is that more? That's going to be more of that, isn't it? For us here? Okay. So, somebody go to 2 Timothy 3:10 through 12. Somebody read that out loud. That's it.
But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Same word. And it is appointed that all who live godly will suffer opposition, persecution of some kind. How many of you experience opposition from people? Oh, yeah, yeah. Is that a good thing? Absolutely a good thing. Absolutely a good thing. Okay. It's going to test your love for them. You're going to pray for them. You're going to ask God to choreograph the events of their life so that they could come around to a place where, boy, that darkness that they love, it ain't satisfying. It's not what I thought it was going to be. That was true for me. That was true for me. And empty. God, make them empty. Make them empty. Make them desperate to be filled with something greater. And may that be your gospel. So what has been granted to us that should look at us as a badge of honor? Guys, would you write? Huh?
To suffer for Christ's sake.
Be able to suffer whatever that looks like. Yeah. For most of us, it's more of a verbal thing. Perhaps you might lose your job. How many of you lost your job for Christ's sake? Okay. Wow. Okay. Rejoice. That's pretty cool. Okay.
Now, 1 Peter 4:15-16.
What's that?
Tells us not to suffer for doing wrong.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. People who steal and they say they're Christian and they go to jail and say, oh, I'm suffering for the Lord. No, you're not. You're suffering for being stupid and sinful. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have a prison ministry while you're in there, right? As Dave likes to talk about. So, okay. So, good. All right. So, what you want to go away with, besides we're going into our groups in just a minute here, you want to go away with that pray. Pray for people. And pray that God would send the choreographer to whatever situation that you're praying about. And that he would work the pieces. And he would make the name of Jesus great. And you're going to require patience for you to do that, aren't you? And in the meantime, you are to what? Magnify what? Christ in your body. In your body. Magnify Christ and be about his business. The other thing you need to take away is that you're not here for you. You're here for somebody else. I'm here for somebody else. Got that? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so group number one is going to go upstairs. Group number one is going to go upstairs. So we got a lot of murmuring and complaining here. Wow! Group number two is going to stay in here. Group number three goes out there.
Yes, I took something away. Why did Paul want to see Christ so badly? Rather than
you guys have things you hate to do at all. George, like, okay. I hate to make the bed. And I hate doing shit. So the rule is whoever gets up last makes the bed. So I got up this morning, said my great prayer of entrance for the day. Father, fill me with your spirit. Thank you. A new day ahead. Help me to walk by faith. And I start to walk away, and I hear this voice that sounds like a father or Jesus, and it says, you're going to make the bed. Are you going to make the bed?
And
I did.
And I have to tell you, I did. Because I know my sheep know my what?
Voice.
My sheep know my voice. And
the sheep in the next county.
And I hate. And my son is just, he loves to make the bed. So there's got to be something else in his life. But, and then doing dishes, you know, go down in the morning, get the coffee going, and the sink is just a semi-disaster. And I'm going, Lord, it would be so nice if it could come down here and I could, you know, and there's not all these dishes and stuff in the sink and all that. But he says, you going to do the dishes? You going to serve your family? All right, so deeper in the well. How'd you guys do out there?
Did you good? Well.
You did well?
Yeah.
So how in life or death will Christ be magnified in your body? Any of you that weren't in here with us? Okay. Good answer. Sometimes no answer is better than a bad answer, right? Okay. So, I want to leave you with just a couple things to walk away with. Okay? One, pray. Ask specifically for people, situations, and God will send His Spirit and choreograph the situation. And while you're waiting, you let it happen, that Christ would be enlarged in your body. So that word for supplies there is epi, along with the word chorus, and we get the word chorus or choreograph from it. And a choreographer is one who arranges and moves the people around in their places. So pray. And while you're waiting, you're to what? Magnify Christ in your body. And you are here for yourself? For others. Your purpose. And guess where you have more satisfaction? Your flesh says, oh, you're going to have more satisfaction if you're here for yourself. But that's not true, is it? When you deny yourself, take up the cross daily, follow Jesus, you will find life. You will find, what kind of life? Class?
Zoe.
His wife. And that's satisfying. How many of you like being satisfied? I do. What's the rock anthem of early rock and roll? What was that song called?
I can't get no.
Satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. Amen to that, right? Amen to all those. To all that. I can't get no satisfaction.